Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Be the Man, Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Rick, how are you, man?
I'm good, young man. How are you?
Man, better than I deserve. Excited to be here with you today. We have got a lot to talk about today. We should start right at the top of the show, sending condolences to the Jarrett family. Just a tragic loss in Mr. Jerry Jarrett. Boy, his fingerprints are all over modern wrestling and have been for more than 40 years. Rick, Jerry Jarrett was maybe the last great regional promoter. Any good Jerry Jarrett stories you can share with us?
You know, I never worked for Jerry. Isn't that funny? I mean, I was around him a lot, but I don't think I directly ever worked for him. I worked for, were Jerry and were Lawler and were Jerry and Jerry partners?
Yes, they were.
Okay, then I obviously worked for him.
Yeah.
I guess I never worked with him is what I'm trying to say. Never worked with him physically. Yeah, I mean, my experiences there were good. I mean, you know, everybody knows Lawler and I had some difference of opinions when it came to putting somebody over, but I mean, that's long ago and forgotten and past. And I'll tell you this, going to Lawler, Lawler became a household name and he never left his backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry Jarrett did not, because he didn't travel and wrestle with Jerry. You know, he was famous for being a great promoter and everything. And obviously the father of a great wrestler in Jeff, but Lawler became a household name and never really left Memphis. If you think about it, he didn't go to St. Louis. He didn't go to Memphis. I mean, later on he did, but he built his whole career and never left his backyard and wrestled everybody, because everybody went there. I mean, from the Funks to me, the Briscoes. I mean, everybody went through there to wrestle Jerry.
How many guys went through there? You know, like Hulk Hogan became, you know, they did that whole Hulk video with that Michael St. John voiceover there.
Yeah.
Ultimate Warrior and Sting started there. Mick Foley went through there. The Rock went through there. Austin went through there. I mean, it was where a lot of the greats, including
Undertaker too.
They all cut their teeth for Jerry Jarrett. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So they enjoyed a lot of success. And I'm sure Jerry, I heard he had a beautiful place there. So,
he did.
And then again, I think if I make it to 80, I'll be happy as hell. So I don't know how he passed away. I guess it was a heart attack, right?
Yeah. I mean, we revealed on Jeff's podcast, literally the day that Mr. Jarrett passed, that his dad had been dealing with esophagus cancer for a few months. What happened, Rick, is his heart couldn't take the treatments. So it wasn't actually the cancer that got him. It was the treatments to get rid of the cancer. But it's what a legacy he leaves behind. You know, Jeff Jarrett, after all these years, you know, overcomes all the triumphs and tragedies, and he's back on top in better shape than ever. And TV every week.
Dang, we need 10% of that money. We got him rolling again. He sent me a text last night. He was so happy they got to wrestle in front of his dad right there in his hometown. So
it meant so much to Mr. Jarrett to be a part of that whole presentation that we had in July. And I was just so fortunate to get to spend some time with him. We actually sat down and interviewed him a couple of years ago, and Jeff actually said, "Hey, what you did for Herd, would you do for my dad?" You know, everybody's getting a little older and man, just, it's just crazy the way it all worked out. And speaking of Memphis,
I hope you didn't mention his breath in the same. Did you say Herd?
Oh yeah. Well, I interviewed Jim Herd.
Right, I know that, but you can't compare.
We're not comparing the two. Not at all.
In wrestling wisdom, my God, one was a world-class great promoter. The other is still trying to figure out what he's doing.
Well, no argument for me on there, but I do want to know what you know about our other pal from Memphis, the other co-owner of that promotion, Mr. Jerry Lawler.
I FaceTimed with him the other day. He's doing much better.
That's awesome.
He's got some rehab ahead of him.
That's great to hear. I'm glad to hear.
I'll tell you what, to realize that someone could be alone and I'm saying this from the heart. I just spent the weekend with Wendy and I'm trying to get her to move here. I wouldn't ever want to be found 3 days after I've had a stroke. I'm serious. It really changed my way of thinking in my life. Who wants to be found 3 days later after, because you're living alone? Hello, I mean, I can't imagine. He's just laying there. That in itself is a story for 3 days before somebody found him.
I was under the impression that it happened in the parking lot of his condo. So I would hope it wasn't 3 days.
Oh, I was told. Well, there you go. That's how stories begin. I was told that he didn't respond. He didn't show up for the appearance in Baltimore that I was at. And that if it happened on Friday, you would have heard up. We didn't talk about it till when, Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, they kept it quiet for sure. I don't think, you know, I mean, here's the reality.
Well, but who's they? He was with nobody till Lauren got there.
Right.
That I know of.
I don't think Lauren discovered him.
No, she did not. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, who's they?
Right.
And why would you keep it quiet? I mean, I just, whatever it is, it's just not a scenario that I want to be in ever.
Sure.
As do I imagine you either.
Right.
When I fall down, I want someone to be watching me fall. Face bump, whatever it is.
Well, that's the thing, man. You've been doing that face bump for so long that when you do one, we're just going to think it's part of the show again.
As Bobby Heenan called it, it's the Gordon.
Yes.
Named after the great Gordon Solie. But anyway, God, what a rough week, like you said, or rough month so far with Lanny. And
yeah, let's talk about Lanny. Let's get all the bad stuff out of the way, and then we'll have some fun and some more lighthearted topics. We lost the brother of the Macho Man, Randy Savage, the genius himself, Leaping Lanny Poffo. Such a nice man, such a genuine man. I had a chance to meet him for the first time in 2018, and I felt like he never met a stranger. Just a really, really great guy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you knew their father, Angelo. What do you remember about Lanny?
I just like Lanny, just plain a nice guy. You know, he was an average hand, but a real nice guy. And you don't have to be a great wrestler to be a great guy. You know, I mean, he was good. But clearly, you know, he walked in the footsteps of his brother. Macho was, you know.
Cast a big shadow.
Cast a big shadow, exactly. But it's the funny thing of it is I traveled with Angelo. Like, can we fathom that in 1974?
Wow.
I traveled with Angelo, and then I was there and kind of helped Randy when he first came in after playing minor league baseball. He came to the Carolinas. So I've known Randy a long time, off and on. I knew Randy for a long time. Yeah,
well,
he went way too early.
Yeah.
He finally found happiness, and all of a sudden, bingo.
Well, thoughts and prayers go out to the Poffo family and certainly the Jarrett family. And I can't believe this is real, but as you and I are recording this on Wednesday morning, Jeff Jarrett is in town for the AEW Dynamite show tonight.
I know. Sophia told me.
His Miss Deborah, Jerry's unfortunate to say, his widow demanded that Jeff go and said, your dad would have demanded it. This wouldn't have been a request. He would have wanted you to go to work. So
old school.
Jeff's there, man.
Hey, I'm telling you, I can't tell you the number of us that have had to do that in one way, shape, form, or another. I haven't had to, but I have never been in a situation where I could stay overnight after one of my kids was born. I was there for the birth of them, but I was gone the next day on the road.
Wow.
I mean, that's just the way it was. You went to work. And that, to think that that would be that difference now, it means the business obviously is a better place, but that's a tough lick, man. To just, you know, walk out and your wife has the baby and you smile for 5 minutes and you get on an airplane.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can only imagine how many of us have done that. Or had to leave someone. I remember Fritz Von Erich gave me a day off. It was unheard of back then to go home and see my mom when she had breast cancer. One day.
Wow.
And she ended up beating it, but I got to go visit her for one day, which that was unheard of. Fritz just said go. So that's unusual. When David was born, George Scott told me if I wasn't at Raleigh TV, he was born on a Tuesday in Minneapolis. George Scott told me if I wasn't at Raleigh TV Wednesday night, to just keep on going right through to Memphis. True story.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. They didn't.
Well,
if you want to talk about some, we always laugh about the road life because it was a lot of fun, but there was some brutally in,
insensitive.
Insensitive, day in and day out, that you had to be there at the show.
Yeah.
If your name was on the billboard and you weren't there, man, sometimes you were blackballed for months.
Well, thankfully the business has changed, but boy, the more it changes, the more it stays the same. As we've mentioned, Cody Rhodes is on quite a tear in WWE. And last week he had a barn burner of an in-ring segment with Paul Heyman.
Yep.
You were traveling last week and down without internet for a day or so. So we didn't get a chance to discuss it, but this is a Raw segment that people are still talking about from last week. Did you have a chance to see it? What'd you think?
I have not seen it. No, remember I was down. I did not see it.
It was an amazing piece of business. And I think a lot of people were clamoring for the Sami Zayn match and felt like perhaps there were no stakes and no story to Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. Paul Heyman and Cody changed that in one in-ring segment.
Yeah.
And then as we're recording earlier this week, we saw an in-ring segment with Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes, both who are quote unquote baby faces. And one is up this weekend in his hometown of Montreal, taking on Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. And it's for the world title at the Elimination Chamber. And Ben, this is going to be a hot crowd. Sammy's about as hot as a baby face can be. It's in his hometown. It's a pay-per-view event, but unfortunately he's against our tribal chief. What do you think happens in this one, Rick?
Unfortunately for Sammy, the tribal chief, yeah. That would be my prediction. And I don't see how, well, first of all, because of the magnitude, I always kid Sammy, I got him now. I used to hate that gimmick. Now I love it. So, and I've admitted to it. It'll be a hot crowd, so it won't matter who wins. But I think that WrestleMania is Roman and Cody, not Sammy and Cody.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that it winds up being Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos. That, as a tag match, feels like it could be a co-main event on either night.
Two guys from Montreal.
Yeah, absolutely. Also on that show in Montreal this weekend, it's a big pay-per-view. We've got Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. What do you see happening in that one, Rick?
You know, I don't know. I just saw Bobby and talked with him for a while at the 30th year anniversary. I have not seen Brock. I don't know enough. If I had talked to Brock recently, I'd have a better feel for what was going on. I really don't. Well, whatever it is, it's going to be a good match, and it's long overdue. I'm looking forward to seeing it. That's the key thing for me. I don't think they've ever worked before, have they?
I think they have, but it's been a while, and of course, they really kicked this story into high gear, in my opinion, at the Royal Rumble when Lashley eliminated Lesnar. Yeah. I would think Lesnar gets the win there. Let's talk about a mixed tag that happens this weekend. It's Edge and Beth Phoenix against the Judgment Day's Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley. Any feel there? Do you think Edge and Beth get the win, or is it Judgment Day's time?
Well, it's hard to bet against Judgment Day because of Rhea going to WrestleMania.
Right.
I don't see them taking any momentum off her. So I think it's just great that Edge and Beth get to wrestle together, which I think is just phenomenal. Anytime you can bring a family story to real life and to the big screen, I think it's phenomenal. I love Beth and Edge a lot, but I don't see them taking any momentum off of Rhea going into WrestleMania.
We got another big one here, and this will determine in an Elimination Chamber match who will go on to face the Raw Women's Champion at WrestleMania. It's Asuka versus Liv Morgan versus Nikki Cross versus Raquel Rodriguez versus Natalya versus Carmella, all inside an elimination chamber. You have a feel for that? Who do you think takes on Bianca Belair at WrestleMania?
Give me the list again.
Asuka, Liv Morgan, Nikki Cross, Raquel Rodriguez, Natalya, and Carmella.
Boy, I can tell it would be a hell of a match. I mean, they'd all be good matches, but Asuka and Asuka and Bianca would be unreal. Asuka's she's really, really, really good. Not that they all aren't, but I think Asuka. I think she deserves more attention than she gets. Because, I mean, she and Ashley, I don't know how many years ago that was, they tore WrestleMania down. I mean, they literally did. They had the best match of the night, I thought. I know people go, "What's his daughter again?" But goddamn it, they just did. They had the best match. So Becky is wrestling Bayley, right? Where are Becky and Bayley? Why are they at that match?
They've had their own feud going on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm surprised to hear the one of them isn't in that.
Well, I mean, listen, things could change. We still got a little bit of time.
A week.
On the elimination chamber.
4 days.
Oh, no. I mean, for WrestleMania, you know, listen, there's still some discussion online that, hey, even if Sammy loses, if there's some sort of controversial finish, will they make that a three-way? Like they did a few years ago with Daniel Bryan. I don't see that happening. I think it goes to the Usos and it becomes a tag match with Kevin Owens. But we'll see what happens. But on the men's side,
three-way with Sammy,
Cody. And Roman.
I don't see that. They put too much time into Cody and too much time into Roman. And the fans, the fans sometimes get with that three-way stuff and sometimes they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's better. I know it'll mean more just from knowing him like I have since he was 12 years old. I think Cody and Roman, I think that's going to be a really world-class match. I mean, I actually think Cody's a better worker now than he was. His work is better right now than it was when he was at AEW.
I think Cody's on top of his game. He's the best
on Cody top, yeah. Right now. Yeah, and Roman is certainly hasn't slacked off at all. Roman's great. I think it's a clash of the titans, man.
Let's do one last one. This should round out Elimination Chamber. It's the men Elimination Chamber for the United States Championship. It's Austin Theory versus Seth freaking Rollins versus Johnny Gargano versus Bronson Reed versus Damian Priest versus Montez Ford. Who do you think picks up the U.S. Championship here when the night's over?
Seth Rollins.
Right. I could see that. Well, it's going to be a fun pay-per-view, man. It's going to be a hot crowd. Even if you normally skip some of these premium live events, I would recommend that you check this one out just based on the fact that it is going to be in Montreal. It's going to be a super hot crowd. But before we do, I want to
They're great, great fans of Montreal. But the Canadian wrestling fans are fabulous. I just wish they'd make it easier to get across the border.
So, Rick, we're going to have the grill fired up for the weekend, and I'm looking forward to that. But along the way, we heard some fantasy booking from our old pal Cody Rhodes. He was on Logan Paul's podcast and was asked about a dream match. And when he was asked about this dream match, he said it would have been cool to team up with his dad against you and Arn Anderson. How fun would that have been, man?
Oh, it'd have been great. It'd been great. I mean, Arn and I wrestled with Dusty. God, who knows? I mean, the Four Horsemen against Dusty and any combination of people from Nikita to Magnum to Sting to Road Warriors. I mean, we just wrestled them so much. But Dusty was always in the middle of all of that. I mean, it really, you put that unique situation of the Four Horsemen with Dusty and any number of other people, and it was always... It was always sold out, number one, and it was always fun. Can't ask for more than that.
Super fun. Can't wait to see what happens with Cody, and especially what's going to happen after the main event this weekend. But then it's WrestleMania season, and of course, around WrestleMania season, there becomes the buzz. Who's going in the Hall of Fame? And the rumored headliner this year is Dave Bautista. Hasn't been announced yet, but that is the rumor. What do you think about Big Dave going into the WWE Hall of Fame?
I think it's long overdue. I think it's great. Sooner they get Dave in, then we can get Evolution in.
Yeah, you need three of those, right? You got to have three rings now.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any. You and Manny have got them.
Yes, we do. Here you go. Listen, I think it would be awesome.
Hey, at least I know they won't get lost. You know, I was with the Undertaker the other day, and I always got to make sure my Rolex isn't gone after I hang out with him. With you, yep. Manny, at least to know the rings won't be lost.
Every now and again, some of your stuff winds up in a bowl of spaghetti. It's the
day. Yeah. That's the rumor.
That is the rumor. Well, the other thing I want to talk about in the Hall of Fame is there's been a movement online to get the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Please.
Yeah. It feels like this is way, way overdue now, does it not?
It certainly does to me. I mean, if you put the Rock and Roll in, you got to put the Midnight in, and the Rock and Roll deserve to be in big time. And I don't know why they're not. I mean, maybe Jim doesn't want to come out of his hollow side. I don't know what it is, but yeah, and once again, I haven't seen Stan in years and Bobby's not here, but God, they were a great team. I mean, really good.
It would have been so awesome to see Bobby on that stage. We missed that opportunity. Yeah.
Isn't Dennis still living?
Dennis is here. Yeah. And he's actually in my neck of the woods. He lives right up the road from my parents.
But you could put Dennis in there with him and Jimmy, and Jim, you know, Jim would cut a great promo. It'd be awesome. I'd love it.
I hope it happens. It's long overdue, and you know, maybe it won't happen in LA, but if we could get him in next year in Philadelphia, boy, the Midnight Express, they were fan favorites in Philadelphia.
Oh, were they ever? God, yeah. And with, you know, having a guy like Ricky Morton induct him, I don't know who would induct him, but it'd be great. I have so much. I just plain love Jim Cornette. He's a very smart guy, man. He's ballsy as hell. He is. I'd die and have him at the last match, but he wouldn't come. I guess you told me he didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has not made a ton of appearances at all since COVID started. He just got comfortable at Castle Cornette, and
yeah.
He's enjoying life there, and I can't blame him, man. If he's got life like he likes it, stay home. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I can have life like I like it, but I'm not staying home.
No, that ain't you. You got to keep moving.
It's you, too. I don't see you staying home every night.
Well, no, that doesn't happen. You are correct. So, speaking of the Hall of Fame, is there anybody
else? I heard you're getting to go to L.A. by yourself.
That's the rumor.
Wow.
Come on now.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be hard to find.
I know you're not.
Anybody else you'd like to see go into the Hall of Fame? You know, we both hope that the Midnights go in and Dave Bautista does. Is there anybody else you think is overdue?
Well, this is my perspective. I'd put Tully and Arn as a tag team too.
Yeah.
I absolutely would. I mean, they were so damn good. They're just a tag team. I mean, I don't know how you measure. I don't know what standard, but I don't know what the standard is by which they measure. But God, I mean, how much better tag team can you be? I mean, their work could hang in with anything that's going on right now. Can you imagine them those two against the Usos with Bay Faces?
Right.
I mean, with the Usos being Bay Faces, are you kidding? Jesus, against Aaron and Tully, but with Bobby Heenan, unreal, or even JJ, you know what I mean?
Well, I think it would be cool if they put Miss Elizabeth in.
Oh, absolutely.
Vader. Well,
I'd like to see Luger go in.
Yes. Yes. Great call.
I would definitely like to see Luger go in. I mean, his contributions to WCW and NWA were huge. I don't know how they determined that, but they have certainly put some people in recent years that I don't think are nearly the talent level of some of these guys that we're talking about now. Yeah, Dave Bautista is automatic, my God.
Yeah, gotta be. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody else who's on
it. He may have had the greatest 10-year run of ever. You know, I think he just stayed in it for 10 years, right?
Yeah, he wasn't in a long time.
He was on top for 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, who does that? And then took off for Hollywood. And he's now he's kicking ass in Hollywood.
Good for him.
Yeah, I'm good for him is right.
Well, good for the Kansas City Chiefs. We normally start our shows talking a little football, but football's over this year now. The Super Bowl's behind us, and it came down to the wire, but the Chiefs pulled it out. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles. What'd you think of the Super Bowl this past week?
I loved it. I thought it was one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen.
It was a great show.
And your guy, they're talking contract. They better give him all the money he wants for 10 years.
Jalen Hurts deserves to get paid.
Jalen Hurts outplayed the guy.
Yeah.
He didn't outplay him, but I mean, his numbers were huge. We had 3 TDs, 340 yards, something like that. But I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. He's just something else, isn't he?
Jesus.
And Travis Kelce too. My God. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame twice.
A lot of folks were upset at the penalty near the end of the game where holding was called on the Eagles. Mm-hmm. What'd you think? Was it a penalty? Should they have called it? Was the ball catchable? Is it a non-starter?
Well, number one, the ball wasn't catchable, so it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't throw him. That ball was at least 5 to 10 yards over his head, wasn't it?
I didn't think it was catchable, so I didn't think the flag should have been thrown.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have made any difference.
Yeah.
If he hadn't been fooled, it wouldn't have been a completion.
Correct.
So I don't see what the big, I mean, because of the penalty, I got you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they got the first down, and then they were able to just drip the clock down and kick
that's
the
right.
field goal.
That's right. Okay, I'm trying to think of the importance of that call. Yeah, you're right. I didn't like it either. No, but I mean, the fact that the game was so relatively flag free,
yes.
I forgot about it for once. I mean, these guys, college games at the end of the year, the bowl games, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And some of these playoff games, the referees just won't stop. And then they apologize for the call, but the call stands.
Right.
Who that just happened in a game? What, a week or 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a weird week or a weird year for penalties, and of course, Jesus. Now the next thing we'll talk about is the draft. You got your eyes on anybody in the draft that really stands out?
I can tell you right now what you want me to tell you. That kid, the Bears are not going to trade Justin Fields and draft your guy.
Okay,
he's 5'9".
Well, listen, let's just.
I love Alabama because Morgan's there. And by God, I'll tell you this. What's amazing about Alabama right now? I bet you don't even know it because
they're number one in basketball.
And basketball. And they beat Auburn today. I watched the whole game. What a game.
12-0 at home.
Alabama is starting to have an overall look as an athletic program instead of just the football.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. When you've got teams like that. That's the way that used to be with North Carolina. Their football was good when LT was there. Their basketball was always good. Now North Carolina and Duke aren't even ranked this year. Think about that. That's big.
I don't think
Kentucky ranked?
Not in the top 25.
I don't think so. No, I mean, here's Alabama, Auburn, all these different schools coming in. I think Texas are ranked pretty high.
Texas is 6, Kansas is 5, and Kansas being 5 is really the only "quote unquote" familiar face. Gonzaga's at 13, but these perennial players, like you're saying, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky—they're not there. And somehow,
well, North Carolina started out number one. Now they're not even. They had to win the other day to be getting the playoffs, I think.
Yeah,
but it's Auburn. I mean, the Southeast Conference is really playing great basketball right now. Tennessee is better. Look at the girls at South Carolina. My God, they're unbeatable.
Did you see Alabama play Vanderbilt a couple weeks ago?
No, I watched the Auburn game. I didn't see that.
They beat them 101-44.
Yeah, I believe it. No, I mean, I watched the Auburn game. Auburn was up by 5 points with 2 minutes left, and they came back. That's a lot. So good for Alabama. Good for Morgan.
Look at you showing a little Alabama love here.
Yeah, I am. I swear to God, I like the only thing about I like schools that have the all around. You know what the Sears Cup is, right?
Yeah,
it's the college each year that's got the best all around program. And I mean, it's gone to Florida. It's gone to Michigan. I don't know who's getting it lately, but I mean, I like it when a school has got a really well-rounded athletic program. I mean, like, you know, Clemson's got baseball and that, but their football team is not falling apart, but you know, everybody here's got to go through these periods of time. Who would have ever thought Georgia, you know, Georgia would be ranked number one again this year in football again, wouldn't they?
Well, let's not get crazy here.
You don't think so?
No.
Who had a better recruiting class, you guys or Georgia?
Alabama.
Did they? How about Ohio?
Alabama had the number one recruiting class with no coordinators because Nick Saban's just the GOAT.
Yeah, I'll go with that. He's
takes a GOAT to know a GOAT.
Well, he's got the records. I'm saying it's like who's going to break Tom? I actually got to FaceTime with Tom Brady the other day.
Really? How's he doing?
Yeah, he was in New York. I was surprised he was at the Super Bowl. He was with my friend Ty Domi.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just said, good luck, man. I mean, he's got that deal he's got with Fox is unheard of. $375 million. And he is the handsomest son of a bitch. Like I said to him, Tom, I said, look, I just got to have one night out with you in Tampa. just one night out. Come back to town. I dare you. Here's my number. I want to hit every bar in Tampa with Tom Brady so bad. Just one time.
That would be, they would,
you'd hear about it.
Oh, you'd hear about it. Sure. Hey, speaking of you and bars in Tampa, mm-hmm. I saw that there was a photo on social media. is a bar that has a brass plaque that says the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Literally, you now have a spot at the bar with your name on it. Is that real?
Yeah, that's in two bars in this town.
Really?
Yep. And nobody can sit there.
My goodness.
You know how much money I had to spend in that place for that thing to happen?
I mean, I've never seen it happen before. I mean, I know our friends in New York have a steak knife with your name on it. Ethan up there has got you hooked up at the Hunt and Fish Club. But the idea that you have a bar stool with your name on it is amazing.
At American Social. In a chair with a back on it, not just a stool.
Oh my goodness, you would be so easy to assassinate. We know where we're gonna be.
Oh, they just opened up three new places here in town. My god, it's unbelievable. This town is growing like crazy. My god.
Yeah, and it's gonna be interesting to see what the Bucks look like without Tom Brady. What's the chatter? Do you guys have you heard?
You didn't watch, you're not watching this morning.
I missed this.
They just got Aaron Rodgers.
Are you making that up?
Yep.
I hate you.
Well, I would love that, man. I love Aaron Rodgers.
I was like, wait a minute. What? I've been working this morning. I didn't see anything. What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, get that rumor out there, boys and girls. Hey, let's do some questions. Nugget Sauce on Twitter wants to know, WWE has a huge roster right now. And a lot of guys not getting noticed. Is it better to be a small fish in a big pond or a big fish in a small pond?
It's better to be the big fish, period, in any size pond.
You just want to be the big fish.
Just the big fish, period.
It's
no fun being a little fish.
No.
People don't buy little fish.
Knapshack wants to know, did you ever give Garvin heat for the Plan B tape? They were ready to break kayfabe and hurt the business. Have you heard about that tape?
What?
Rick? Back in the day, there were a handful of guys who put together a tape where they're on camera, basically admitting that wrestling was a work. And this would have been the late '70s. And it was a way to say, hey, if we're not going to get our way with these promoters, then this is what we're going to put out there. Of course, it never actually aired, but it did pop up on the internet a few years ago. But Garvin was a part of that, but you've
which
never
Garvin, heard of that, which huh? Garvin, Terry or Ronnie?
Ronnie.
I've never heard of that. And it wouldn't have done it. In the '70s, there was no social media anyway. Now you can't walk across the street.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody would have bought that.
Kurt wants to know, should there eventually be another
Nate McCoy? No, I never heard about it. No.
Should the gimmick pass to the next generation eventually? First there was Buddy, then Rick. Is there anyone currently working in wrestling who could fill those shoes? I know in storyline you tried to, you know, put a robe on AJ Styles and all that in TNA, but for real, if you were going to say, all right, this is the modern Nature Boy, and somebody's going to borrow the robes and borrow the strut and carry on the Nature Boy thing, who would that be? Is there somebody out there who you could see pulling that off?
Well, Rogers and I were two different people. Rogers was just really, you know, he kind of kept to himself, had his own group of people, very arrogant. I mean, I think I've been arrogant at times, but I don't know if anybody will ever be as crazy as me. And to be the Nature Boy, I mean, to create, I mean, my documentary pretty much said it all. It was crazy. It was a crazy lifestyle, but I loved it. I mean, I wasn't crazy about some of the places I had to wrestle, and wrestling all in front of 100 people wasn't fun for me, but 99% of what I did, I loved doing. I think it helped explain the parts that I hate myself for, or miss, or involving with my kids in that. You know what I mean? Missing the kids and stuff like that. But other than that, I don't know if there's anybody crazy enough that wants to be. I mean, I was just out there. If you look at my body of work and the stuff that I did from just regular wrestling, they've been putting in that house. And I mean, name it, I've been buried in the desert.
Right.
I mean, who wants to endure all that? You know, I saw where Arn said something about about hard to be my friend. You know, my response, I wanted to respond, and I think I told you I had, like, Jim Herd disliked me or anything about me.
Right.
So he disliked Arn. He disliked Tully. He didn't like anything about any of us. And that rolled over to Eric too. Now, I don't know what happened between he and Bill Watts. I don't think he was happy working for Bill either, but with Eric and Jim Herd, they just, history, you can look at it. They just didn't like me. And probably I put them in a position. I certainly, people know why I left. And I'm certainly he was aware that I left, but he was such an established commodity and he was so good at what he did, as was Tully. The story of their breakup is not my business. You know the story. They know it. I had to leave to save myself. But, you know, it left them, and I didn't mean to leave them unprotected, but, man, I was ducking and dodging myself. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. I didn't see the quote that you're saying where Arn said it was difficult to be your friend in WCW, but it also probably paid dividends. I mean, I think when the whole...
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying it didn't. I mean, I quit one time with Jimmy Crockett. When those guys refused to go to Raleigh, I said, hey, they're not going, I'm not going. And that's a big step when you're the world champion. That's right. Rolling the dice. They could have said, screw you, Rick, right?
Right.
And I don't know what the resolve was, but it all basically started when they signed Luger to that huge contract. You know, the guy had just coming on board, unproven, and, you know, getting that huge contract, that just threw everything out of whack. And then the Road Warriors got a big contract, and then I wanted one, and it snowballed. You know what I mean?
Why do you think Luger got that big contract? Is it because he
had played pro football,
right?
And he knew how to negotiate. That'd be my take. I don't know. He was a very smart guy.
I'm just saying, from the Crockett standpoint, did they think, based on his aesthetics, this could be our Hulk Hogan? We need someone with this giant muscular physique. We need someone who has that superhero look, as opposed to just the great wrestlers we have on the roster.
Actually, you want to know who Dusty compared him to?
Who?
Nick Bockwinkel.
Oh, really? What? Wait, what?
Yeah. Dusty compared. He said, "We're going to bring this guy in. He'll be as good as Nick Bockwinkel." It wasn't about Hulk and that. I mean, first of all, Dusty wouldn't have had a Hulk. He was our Hulk Hogan. Does that make sense?
I just meant look wise. I mean, Lex Luger looked like an action figure.
Yeah. Well, exactly. The him and Kerry Von Erich were
two best physiques in wrestling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Here's another one here. We've got Ryan McCabe, and he wants to know, when you weren't WCW World Heavyweight Champion, was it always part of the shtick to not sign championship belts for fans? My dad took me to WCW in Alaska back in the early 90s, tried to get you to sign a belt, but you wouldn't since you didn't have it at the time. Was that an old rule of thumb that you don't sign belts if you're not the champ?
No, just bad guys don't sign.
Oh, there you go. That makes more sense.
But they were saying
that. I love that.
I don't want you to cheer me, kid. I want you to hate me.
Wrestling Punto says, Rick, what's a country you've never wrestled in but would have liked to?
Israel.
Wow, that's a fun answer.
I've never made it to Israel. I probably would have bought a 40-carat diamond, knowing me, given to someone who knows. I heard the women are beautiful over there and they have diamonds.
Oh, goodness gracious. Al Pacino says, other than Ric Flair's last match, what other match would you like a do-over on? Is there another match that you wish you had a do-over on?
Well, I wish I could wrestle Shawn again and have my self-confidence where it is now. That'd be the only one. I mean, people thought it was great, but it could have been so much better. God, I was 59 then, but I don't have any aches or pains or anything. Didn't hurt me to take bumps. Hell, my birthday next week. I'm gonna have Jay give me a suplex off the top rope. Happy birthday.
Well, hey, that's a fun question. What are you doing for your birthday? I think it's next Friday, right? What are you doing next Friday?
It's next Saturday.
How are you celebrating?
I don't know. It's going to be rough being 74. Oh, my God. I'm dreading the thought. That's 1 year away from 75. I don't know.
Are you going to be home? Are you going to be on the road? You make an appearance?
No, I was supposed to. I thought about doing a car show in Milwaukee, but I think I owe it to myself to go to my plaque.
I love you for that. Go to my
plaque. You're invited. You and Megan are invited. Hell, I came to Megan's birthday. Come on.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I'll have to remind her of that. Maybe I'll do a run-in.
Tell her to get in that god dang Rolls Royce SUV and get her ass up here.
It's not a Rolls Royce SUV. Goodness gracious.
What is it? A Bentley SUV?
Well, yeah, it is.
Excuse me. It's a Bentley SUV. I'm sorry, honey.
We're going to be right up the road from you, though. Yeah,
which one of the Conradisons are you coming from?
We close on the 21st on our Florida house. So we'll be right up the road from you. How about that?
Oh my gosh. You'll be within miles of Wendy.
we're neighbors basically.
I know. You know, she's excited. She left to go back this morning. She got her yoga certified. Can you imagine that? 4 weeks of yoga at that place. No TVs, nothing. 10 o'clock curfew and 12 people entered and three people made it through it.
But she's a yoga instructor now.
Yeah, she can. Yeah.
Wow. How about that? That's awesome.
Yep. Well, you're not going to believe this. I hope this isn't breaking news. I don't think it's breaking news. And Fox and Netflix are looking at bringing up the house or picking up the Housewives of Wrestling.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah, big time. She saw the reel yesterday. It's Randy's wife. It's Kurt's wife. It's, Wendy, and it's Jake
Hager's wife.
Jake Hager's wife, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, they do that. I don't think Karen Angle's in it. I'm not sure. Karen would be great at that, oh God. But the reel came out so good they're looking at it. So
I can't imagine a Karen Angle housewife character.
Oh yeah.
She would be viral.
And here's another one why I've got to behave myself. She just got up checked to do her life story with me.
Who did?
She's, She's writing a book.
Wait, Wendy's writing a book?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and they gave her a hell of a bump up front. This damn documentary got everybody talking.
Listen, you know, I've had this idea for a while. I think what we should do is we should get the four horse women, what are we going to call it? We got to get all your ex-wives, all of them together in a house and make it a reality show.
Oh great.
Me and my five wives. I think it'd be hilarious. Four horsemen and five wives. Story.
You mean the four that never remarried? I wonder why.
You're a tough act to follow, kind sir.
Apparently.
Oh gosh. Last Week in Wrestling wants to know, out of all the feuds you've had, is there one you'd like to change the outcome to? Well, that NWO thing in 97, right?
Oh, the in Winston-Salem?
Yeah.
It killed the town.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessary either. I was the outcome. I think I've told you this before. I wish I would have submitted to Sting in the Scorpion Deathlock in Baltimore. Mm. I told you that. I look back and I don't think, small package. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, every time I wanted, but that's being a heel. Somebody right. fell down, someone tripped, somebody held somebody. You know what I mean? I never got to win in the middle. Because who wants to win in the middle? I mean, that just nullifies the heat. Does that make sense?
Right.
I wish I would have submitted to Sting in the middle of the ring instead of having him roll me up.
I like that. Brian Hamilton says, who was the most deserving wrestler to never hold the NWA title? I'm leaning Jerry Lawler, but I'm curious of your opinion.
Ted DiBiase.
Oh, that would have been a great one.
Dick Murdoch. Lawler was, he was working with AWA at the time. See, the reason, you know, probably one of the reasons Jerry never got in contention for the NWA title is because they didn't leave Memphis.
Right.
Remember the AWA came to Jerry and he beat Henning for it. Right.
Yes, that's right. I've talked to Jeff Jarrett before and some other folks who were in Memphis, and they all had opinions as to why Lawler was maybe sometimes in the conversation, but they never pulled the trigger on it. I've heard some people say, you know, that, hey, you couldn't have tattoos. And apparently Terry Funk had the campaign to get Harley Race in. And others would say, well, you had to have an amateur background. But then I heard something about Jerry Lawler that I thought, what? But I've talked to folks in Memphis and they say, no, that's what we were under the impression of, that Lawler wrestled in pants, not short tights.
Yeah.
And certain folks on the committee didn't think that the NWA champion should wrestle in gear.
They were strict about that.
Really?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It blew my mind.
Yeah. I really don't like it now.
You don't like pants.
I know. I'm not like, I mean, I'm not against it, but I look at Austin, I look at Rock, I look at Harley, I look at Terry, Dory, myself, Stone Cold. I mean, now Taker, with Taker, it's a gimmick. Does that make sense? Right.
Yes.
That goes hand in hand. But he's got a real good physique. I've seen him wrestling trunks too. I'm not knocking it, but I mean, look at Roman. I mean, Roman doesn't wear pants, does he?
He does.
He does?
Yeah, Roman wears pants.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I guess he's not wearing a shirt anymore. He's just wearing.
That's right. Yeah, he took the vest off, but he's still wearing.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm not knocking it. It's just that back then it wasn't as popular as it obviously is now.
You know what? You got to go back and look at that.
I would say 50% of the guys wear pants on.
We got Cody and Roman in the main event at WrestleMania, and they're both wearing pants.
Yeah.
Now that we're thinking out loud, like I know Bret and Shawn did in 96, but maybe it is more rare than I imagined. But I never really put two and two together that that could affect the way people who had a vote or say and what happened with the NWA title would feel of what's his gear look like.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny when I look at those guys, I look at their face, their upper body, their conditioning. I have forgotten and overlooked the clothing aspect.
Right.
It's like, I think one of the things that makes Ashley so uniquely different is she wears, you know, just a regular outfit. I mean, always tricked out to the max, but she's not covered up at all other than the normal attire.
Right.
And I'm all about that, especially with the girls.
We don't usually talk about current stuff a ton here with regards to this, but how's Manny doing? Last we heard, he was recovering from a torn pectoral. He had that surgery done, and if you follow him on social media, it looks like they're working out hard as shit together. So maybe he's on the mend, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks. So I don't know exactly what the time frame is, but I know they're training like hell. My God, I know for a while Manny could only train with one arm, but
yeah,
he kept working his legs and everything. It's like Manny wears long pants too, but Manny's got great legs. So I don't know why he does. I mean, he's got tremendous thigh muscles and that. I don't know why. Everybody's got a different reason for the way they dress, but the Queen is in the kind of shape that very few people in a lifetime ever get in. And you know, I don't care.
I'm wondering, since we're talking about pants, I can't believe this is such a fascinating subject, but I just never imagined it would have had any bearing on the NWA title. But you have joked before that you wore your knee pads a certain way because you wanted to cover what you called your minuscule calves, which
minuscule, but minuscule, minuscule.
So as you're covering your minuscule calves, did you ever consider wearing pants?
No.
For that reason?
No, I just never considered wearing them.
Hmm.
I was stuck with them damn obliques and the minuscule calves. The obliques, I wanted to get cut off one day. I was so mad at them. Maybe if I could just push myself away from the bar at night, just for one night a week back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or 2000s, my obliques might have gone away. They went away when I was sick.
Mike Jones version 2.5 wants to know, Rick, what was your favorite place to eat on the road?
I was just there and it's back open. I was at Jimmy's Seafood two nights in a row. I think I told you that, right?
Yep.
Phenomenal food. But Sabatino's just reopened. So I have to put two together. Gibson's in Chicago and Sabatino's in Baltimore. Well, and now Jimmy's Seafood was fantastic. Oh,
they
roll
out the red carpet too, do they not? Man, what a great God. Place. What a great
I didn't realize how big the place is.
Keeps going and going and going.
Yeah.
What's the latest on Ric Flair Drip? You can find out all the updates over at RicFlairDrip.com. Well,
it drops in Florida in 2 weeks. So I'll be in 15 states probably by. Let me see, I'm going to Michigan and Missouri in March. I should be in 16 states by May 1st, and then I'll be in 24 by the end of the year.
We got to make it happen, man. You got to get some Ric Flair Drip in Pensacola.
Oh, I can do that. How far do you live from Pensacola?
And the house is in Pensacola.
Oh, you're still 90 miles away from where Wendy is then.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep thinking you're right down there by Destin.
No. It's a Pensacola mailing address. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it'll be, you can buy it. You know, I can get you a card right now. I can help you get a card.
I love you for that, man. I had a lot of fun today talking about all things wrestling and football and sports. And we're going to be back next week.
I even put over Alabama. God, that was rough.
I know you probably need a drink after that.
I do.
But I'll tell you this though. I'm going to, when I hang up, I'm going to start selling with the wife and I got to come see this plaque in person. I got to see.
Yeah, I mean, I just go over it and just demand, just say, look at It's your dad's birthday. He could be dead. Hell.
Shit, man. You know everybody in the family is scared of her.
Did I drive up on you in Pensacola and you were leaving? I got a text that said, Rick, we're leaving, going somewhere else. And who was right there?
You were there. You were there.
An 8-hour drive through the jungle, little woods. Listen, I'm going to post that picture of you where you fell off a damn stool.
No, you're not.
If I don't get you, you don't come to my birthday party. I'm going to say, this is what me, that's what Conrad looked like at Megan's. I love
we'll
it.
See you next week right here on To Be The Man.
Woo!